Well, this evening, what we're going to do is we're going to look at Amos chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse number 3. And if you don't mind, let's stand for the reading of this verse. We'll go to the Lord in prayer one more time, and then we will have a sit down, and then we'll go through Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. Let's all stand. Here it says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Dear Lord, we thank you for the blessings of the day again. Thank you so much for your son, Jesus, who gave his life that we may have eternal life. I pray, Lord, that you help us to all be in agreement with you and that your will be done and your great commission will be carried out. Lord, I ask that you help me to speak boldly and plainly again the words that you've laid on my heart this evening. And it's all in Jesus' name that we do humbly pray. Amen. So Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, my wife don't like me to use her as an example. You guys can be seated, I'm sorry. My wife don't like me to use her as an example, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'll get in trouble later. Do you think we have survived 32 years without one fight? Have you survived in your marriage without one fight? There's been some disagreements, right? Disagreements come from Satan. I want you to understand what I'm saying. Whenever we get mad, and I say that, I don't know you, but I know you get mad. When we get mad, when we tell a lie, we call them white lies, it's a lie. When we do things we shouldn't do, when we get up, when we should sit down, when we should get up, no matter what it is, God's calling us to do. If you're a saved child of God, God's in your heart. He's leading you somewhere, and I guarantee you it's the right path. The problem is, that path is not what the sin nature wants. So in order for us to be in agreement with God, we have to fight the sin nature. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, "I have to buffet my body." Have you ever kicked yourself? I wished I could kick myself sometime. Because I have to get myself in line with what God says. If I don't get in line with what God says, I will fail miserably. You know, I look at scripture verses that talk about how God loves people. He loves you. He loves me. But guess what he does to the people that he loves? He corrects them. Who likes correction? We better get in agreement with God, because that correction comes, it hurts, it's painful. I think he must love me a lot, because I've been corrected a lot. If God loves you, and you have been corrected, if something happens, and you've been, it's not just a punishment, but it's a correction, and it's something bad, say, "Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord." I remember, I worked as a mechanic for years and years and years. That's all I did. I just retired recently. And there's certain things that happen in my life as a mechanic that will always stick with me. And those things that stick with me are the times that I hurt myself. I was on the top of a feed trailer, Tyson Food feed trailer. And I was inside the shop. And in that shop, there's an I-beam in that shop on top. And I was working on this trailer, and I left a wrench back here, and I needed that wrench. And so I got up, and I focused on that wrench. But I know my heart at the time, I'm working on this trailer, but I know my heart at the time wasn't right, I needed something to get me. Be careful, you fall off of this thing. And so I got up, and I went to reach for that wrench, and my head hit that steel beam so hard, I went down to my knees. And I went down and I'm like, "That hurt." I said a little more than that, but "That hurt." And the only thing that came to my mind was correction from God. It wasn't a "woe is me." It was him allowing something to happen to get my attention. Evidently, in my life, there's been too many times where I have not been in agreement with God, and he has got my attention. He's done it through marriage with my wife, through my kids. He's done it through the church where I go. He's done it through my jobs. Every job I go to, through the people. And every time I want to get mad and wring somebody's neck, it's God saying, no, I'm teaching you something. So here, most kids, you know, teach and learn by the time they're 20 years old. They're pretty smart. It's taken me 30, 40 years to wise up, you know, and I went ahead and retired from my job. People wanted me to keep working, and I'm like, I can't do it. God wants me to preach. I'm not a good preacher. God said, I didn't ask you to be a good preacher. I said, preach. God, God's right. I'm not right. God's right. Except that two walk together except they be agreed. You cannot walk to God with God unless you are agreed with God. You can be a saved child of God. You could know you're a sinner. You could repent of your sin, which is what John came in and preached, what Jesus preached. And he said, they said to repent. You can be saved. But if you just stop there, you've made heaven, yet so as by fire. What we need to do in our life is continue to agree with God every day. We get saved, and then what we do? There's some churches that don't have a baptistry. You have one. You get baptized, not to save you. You agree with God. God, you're right. I need to get baptized, because he's in the Great Commission. He says, baptize them. Yeah. Those people that get saved, baptize them. And then Adam. Then the Adam to the church. And when you get saved, baptized, and added, now the Lord can work with you. Now you're in agreement with God. Now you're walking with God. Problem is, once you get saved, baptized, and a member of a church, sometimes you don't do exactly what God says, and he has to correct you and bring you back. Always remember, you've got to be in agreement with God. And when you're in agreement with God, the flesh don't like it. I like to eat. Did you know gluttony is a sin? I like to eat. Some people are putting their head down. They like to eat too. But because of certain sins that we do, our bodies decay and deteriorate. And God isn't able to use parts of us because we've let sin come in and cause us to do things to our body to cause us to not be able to do what the Lord has called us to do. We need to be able to buffet our bodies, bring it under subjection, so that we might do the work of the Lord and be in agreement with God. You know, the closest, best, wonderful, peaceful, joyous feeling I have ever had, and you guys can all attest to this, is when I am walking with God.
Amen.
None of that was a part of my sermon this evening. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I actually used this verse in my sermon this morning, but I want to read it again. Beginning in verse 1, the Apostle Paul, who would be the writer here, says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness. And everything I'm going to mention here is against what your flesh wants to do. With all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. You know, I say that and people say and agree with that, but if you really do a deep soul search, sometimes we don't do that. We don't forbear people in love. Endeavoring. There are people that use this word that endeavor to do things. And if you live your life so that you accomplish great things in life, and we look at people, there's the whole world knows certain people because they've accomplished so much in life. But what they did, look what I did. God doesn't recognize any of it. You will have lived your life, got your pat on your back, and if you never trusted in Jesus, God's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Here, this endeavoring is endeavoring in the work of the Lord. Work out your own salvation with what? With fear respectful reverence of God, and trembling.
Amen.
Endeavoring what? To keep the unity of the Spirit. There's no unity if there's no agreement. Either God is right or God is wrong. I've witnessed to certain people, I've asked that question. Is God right or is God wrong? A person that doesn't go to church, they're not saved, nothing like that. That's the question I asked. Is God right? Is God wrong? Well, obviously God's right, they say. You know what his word says? And I start telling them, they don't want to hear no more. Well, if God's right, why wouldn't you want to do what God's word says? Except you be agreed, you can't even walk together. Endeavoring to keep the unity of spirit and the bond of peace. There's one body, one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. So if God be in us, because the scripture says, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. Some of you can repeat after me and repeat with me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. How did David take down Goliath? In his own strength? How did Gideon win the battle when God said, get rid of all these people? He had him go through all these tests, get rid of all these people. How did he win the battle? God? People didn't win it. We did it. They did it through God. If we're going to be winners today, we're going to do it through God. The body's not going to like it. Lord, I'm tired. Go. He told Jonah, go to Nineveh. Go to Nineveh. Jonah, a righteous man, already knew, so smart, he already knew God was going to forgive those people. I knew you were going to do that, God. But it took him to go down. God created a fish, swallowed him up. You know that had to have been horrible. Can you imagine being in the belly of a fish? God kept him alive. God can put you in some horrendous places and keep you alive. He put him in the belly of that fish. You know that fish was his salvation? Not salvation as in saved, but as in that fish is what brought him out of his mindset. Coughed him up and he went and preached. All he preached is repent. God's going to destroy you. That's it. And then what did they do? The king sat in ashes, he tore his clothes and he repented. He sat in ashes. God knew you were going to do that. But you know what the problem was? Jonah had a sin nature. He had a sin nature. He said, God, I don't like those people. You should have just took them out. You know what? God saves the vilest of sinners. We need to look at everybody as a vile, as the one that God... I'm talking about if we look at everybody, the people that we dislike, walk around, don't want to talk to, God saves those individuals.
Right.
All lowliness. Agree with God. It's not going to be fun for the body, but I'd rather have more peace of my heart than peace in my body. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. And we do that, right? But do we weep with them that weep? Or do we leave them in their own sorrow and walk away because we don't want no part of it? When people are down, when people get down, we get down. I get down. I've been down before, and I always hope, you know, wish somebody would come and, you know, just talk to me. You know, just you know, be with me. Don't try to correct and tell me why all this is happening. Just be there with me. What's what God's people do? God's people, we lift each other up. We help each other. When you get knocked down, you don't continue to kick. You lift them up. You give them, you show them the love of God. A very adulterous woman was brought before Jesus. And the men that brought her were right in their accusation. She was caught in the very act. She was an adulterous woman. You know what God didn't do? He didn't condemn the woman. But he made a statement that convicted the heart of all the men. They turned and walked away sorrowful. Those without sin. When we look at somebody, we look at them and say, you know what? By grace of God, that could be me. Those without sin cast the first stone. Not one person can cast a stone. None of us can cast a stone. But you know who could? Jesus could have stoned her and been righteous. But he chose not to, because what? He loved her. She was down, and he lifted her up. Amen. Rejoice with them, rejoice, weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. That don't mean you should think like me. That mind is the mind of Christ. We have 66 books, Old and New Testament, that has the mind of Christ, the very Word of God. All Scripture is given by who? By inspiration. God breathed. This is not man's word that he wrote. This is what God inspired man to write. Write this down, my word. And they wrote it down. This analogy I didn't come up with. I heard it and I used it this morning, but I want to use it again. There are people that say, Lord, just give me a sign and I'll go do it. He gave you 66 books and you're asking for something else and you haven't even read that. And you're looking for something else? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So we go Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. So Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Beginning at verse 10. So I'm assuming everybody in here, I think you have we have a knowledgeable group of people in here. And you know that the Corinthian church was a church of God. It was a God-called church. They were an imperfect church. They had lots of issues. Paul writing a letter to them in the correction of these issues to, you know, set things straight, to you know, bring it back a mindset of come back to God, look God's ways. And he says in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together. Amen. You know what the hardest thing in the world to do is? Get people to join together. You know why there's controversy in churches? Because it's not God's heart people that are trying to get together. It's people's opinions trying to get together. And it's the flesh nature trying to get together. When you try to get the flesh nature and everybody to agree, what are you going to have? Chaos. You're going to have fights. You're going to have people that are going to get mad and have something on their shoulder and they're just mad. They just walk out and leave. Oh, so-and-so this. Oh, so-and-so that. I can't believe that they think that. I can't believe she or he said that to me. Speak the same thing. The Corinthian church had a bad problem with big I's and little U's. Speak the same thing. And then go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse number 12. Paul says to this church here, First Corinthians 12 and verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, this is not talking about a universal church, there's no such thing, and all the members of that body one, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized unto one body, whether we be Jews or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink in one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Then he goes on to say, if the foot shall say to the eye, because I'm not of the hand, I am not of the body, is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, am I not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they all many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts are more abundant, have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. If you bring in your sin nature, you're going to have a chaotic church. But when you preach Jesus and not your opinion, the word will never return unto the Lord void. It will accomplish what he has said it will accomplish. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. It is God's will that we give our lives for him. When we read Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says that it is our reasonable service to do so. And he says, don't conform yourself to the world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, the mind of Christ, that you may do what? Glorify God through his will. His will. Matthew chapter 7 in verse 1. Matthew chapter 7 in verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye meet, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you again. Why beholdest the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to the brother, let me pull the beam or mote out of thine eye, and behold the beam in mine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. In order, what he's saying is, if you want to help somebody, then you must do it through God's will. In other words, take your life, change your life, agree with God, and if God says, go to South Africa, I'm not saying he's telling you to do that, go to South Africa. You don't want to, but just do it. And when you have followed my will wholly, let's not go so far as Africa. Saved, baptized, member of a local New Testament church, and then living the life, Lord, what would you have me to do? Following the Lord. When your life is straight, now you're able to go and help somebody else. Not to beat them down, but you're to help them. You can help them. But you can't help anybody unless you first remove the sin from your life. Humble yourself and come to God, and then you're able to help somebody else. I've had a lot of people try to help me, and I get mad at them because I feel them coming off as they're arrogant. You know, there is no arrogancy with God. Jesus could have called 10,000 angels at any time while he was being crucified. He didn't do it. He said, I have to do this. I have to die. I have to be beaten. I have to be whipped. And, you know, the Romans had a great... I mean, they didn't invent the scourging, but they perfected it pretty good. They knew when to stop before man dies. And they whipped Jesus, and with every stripe he took, it wasn't, woe is me, it was, I love you. Until he was on the cross, and he did not die until the full payment was made. But then the full payment was made. And you know, after that payment was made, and God looked at that and allowed it, now God is able to come to his people, but he does it through Jesus. We go to God through Jesus. When we pray to God, that goes through Jesus, and then it goes to God. But without Jesus, we can't even get to God. So we must humble ourselves, repent of our sins, put our faith and trust in him.
Yeah.
Say, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that what? Doeth the will of my Father in agreement with God. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in that name? Or let me add some things. Haven't we gone to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, when all the fellowship, didn't we do all that? And in thy name cast out devils and had done many wonderful works. What's God going to say? Depart from me, ye workers of sin, iniquity. I never knew you. We see in Exodus where Jesus told his people, he gave them commandments. The do's and the don'ts. Don't do this. First thing was make God your God. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. Then he had a list. Israelites couldn't even do it. What makes you think we can do it? We can't. Therefore, because we can't, Jesus came and died, paid the sin. So when God looks at us and we have the blood of Jesus, he sees Jesus. And what he sees is perfection.
Amen.
Don't you? He sees perfection. He sees Jesus. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6:11-18. I'm real close to being done here. 2 Corinthians 6, beginning at verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for to recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. This is not a color white, black thing. This is a saved, lost. Saved people should not be marrying lost people. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? You know, your sin nature has no fellowship with God. And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part had he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Amen.
Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. My question to you this evening, are you in agreement with God? Have you been saved? Have you repented of your sin? Have you been baptized? Are you a member of the Lord's local New Testament church? And if so, is your light shining in a lost and dying world? Or is your sin nature so powerful that you can come so close, but it's too uncomfortable for me? We need to give our lives, make it a reasonable service, buffet it, bring it under subjection. God said, I think I quoted this earlier, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. There's no weak people in the church when Christ is in them. There's no strong people unless there is Christ in them. So my question this evening, is Christ in you and you are in agreement with Him that He is right and I am wrong and I cannot do nothing without Him? There's a song that we sing about a ship without a sail. I can't even sail a ship without it. I'm like a ship without a sail in the ocean without Jesus. Without Him, I could do absolutely nothing. This church will cease to exist if God is not first, if God is not worshipped, if God is not the preeminence in our lives and taken over. Amen. Don't let sin reign, which means take over your mortal body.